SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Hi, Mike Gill, Ron Culver, in for Tony D. It's SB Nation AM, and you know, there is so much going on in the sports calendar. Even when it feels like, hey, basketball's done, hockey's done, football is done, basketball free agency is close, football training camps are close, baseball season is here, we've got the soccer going on, we've got another golf major on the way. So sports fans, there is a lot of good still to come, but right now we've got the good, the bad, and the dumb. Ron Culver, take it away.
Well, the good of the day is, you know, we've all heard about LeVar Ball. We know what LeVar Ball's dream is to be, which is having all three of his boys playing on the same NBA team. Not just making it to the NBA. He wants them to all be on the same team. But there's another family out there that maybe he should take advice from.
Oh, gosh, I can't wait to hear this.
But I'm going to be honest with you. This advice starts off good and might become bad. I'll have you be the judge.
All right.
We didn't get the three in there. They got themselves in there from their talent and their hard work.
So, that's right. That's right.
You know, we just kind of coached them, you know, and just helped them to harness their skills to where they would be able to play at that level.
What's the best advice, though?
God's grace, I tell you. It's not by our kids' strength. It's by God's grace. But I think it's awesome that LeVar wants his children there. That's what we want as parents. You want them to have their dreams. So keep pushing it. I think that's great.
So this, forgot to set it up, who this was.
Yeah.
These are the parents of Drew, Justin, and Aaron Holiday.
Oh, wow.
So all three of their sons have made it into the NBA. Their whole mantra was, like, you know, they never really pushed them. They just kept coaching them up.
That's definitely a different route. Drew Holiday was in Philly for a while. Got a chance to talk to him many times. And his brother was here for Justin Holiday, played here for a little while, too.
Yep, and Aaron just got drafted this past week.
Yeah, you ever think about that, too? Like, you talk about the good. A family that has three kids that all make it to it. How rare is that? Like, it's unbelievable.
Amazing. Well, it was funny because later on in the interview, they said, you know, how often does this happen? And the mom was quickly at a point. I was like, well, actually, it happens a lot more often than you would think. And then she was able to ramble off, you know, as that happened, you know, the Plumleys were there, the Berries were there. So it was kind of funny how she was quick to have an answer for, you know, other parents who've had three of their boys make it to the highest level.
So,
but let's face it, it's a very rare feat. I mean, I have three boys. If all three of my boys were to play professionally, you know, I think that would be winning the lottery three times.
Well, it's crazy. You know, we just talked about youth baseball. I coach three brothers we talk about this a lot. Like, how rare and odd is it that these three boys, they all went on to play college baseball? Forget, like, Division One or getting – well, now, one of them got drafted. One of them's Division One, and the other one's JUCO. They all started JUCO. But the fact that three brothers all made it to college baseball and then have continued – like, you don't see stuff like that happen.
No.
But to make it to the professional level is even more unbelievable.
Yeah. Now, the only part where I say that this advice, which was good, just, like, you know, just let them be, just coach them up. The only part where it went bad is when she did say, you know, that it's great that LeVar is as passionate as he is. It's like giving him an excuse, which we don't need.
Yeah. Oh, guess what? Yes, we could all go without hearing any more from Mr. Ball.
We could. But at the same time, I like the sound bites. I like the lunacy in him sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes, though, he gets going. It's like you wind him up, and you can almost see in his eyes, like, another creature comes out, you know? It's like, I can picture him being just a regular guy working and just being a normal dude, and then you wind him up in front of the camera, and those eyes get in play, and it's like, I got a whole new person you're about to meet here.
I know. I guess you just want him... You need him in your life. That's all it is. You really just – I like what has happened. We had him for a while, and then he completely disappeared. Then we have him back. I want him to disappear again.
Yeah. Well, guess what? I think that's going to happen.
I think so, too.
Once,
I think,
once your son gets banished to New Orleans, you're out of the social limelight, right?
Yeah, well, he'll what happens, he'll rear his ugly head next year for the draft when...
is it, yeah, his son, is it his LiAngelo? Youngest son, yes, is LaMelo?
Is it LaMelo? I can never get them straight.
I forget which one, but he is, now, I'm like mock draft nerd for like, you know, next year already. I've seen him in top five in next year's mock drafts. So you're going to definitely hear from him.
I know, and, which to me, that seems absolutely crazy. To think, because he's not, I mean, what, he went over to Lithuania. He didn't even finish high school.
Yeah, well, this one, this is the third one.
I know he's the third one's supposed to be...
He's going to Australia.
Okay, second one I thought was going to Australia.
No, the second one was the one that went to... He was the middle one, right? He went to Lithuania and then went to, like, played in that professional league that his father started that I guess folded already.
Right.
And the youngest one, he has just declared that he was going to play in Australia.
Okay, that's...
Yes.
All right.
So there we go. So
they'll probably get two, man. I doubt they're going to get three because I know the second one wasn't as good of a player as the other two.
So because of that, we'll never see the Lakers win a title again.
No.
Remember, if the Lakers will win a title, how? If all three Ball brothers played for the Lakers. Now, it's a much easier sell maybe to get them all to play for the Pelicans.
Yeah, well, maybe you get all three holidays to join all three balls.
Oh, yeah, that would be awesome. There is a holiday already there. Although, by the way that the Lakers are running their organization right now, maybe they will take all three balls.
Exactly.
That whole story is bonkers, by the way. The whole salary cap thing. We might have to spend more time on that tomorrow.
I know. It really is an embarrassment. I mean, the Lakers are my team, but I don't even like admitting that they don't know how to count.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
They don't do math.
We'll see. You talk about the good, the bad, and the dumb. That is dumb at the top of the list of telling the Pelicans we want the trade to be July the 6th, which ruins their cap space, as opposed to July 30th. It was almost like, hey, it's Christmas. You can open this toy now, or you can wait till Christmas Day. I don't want to wait till Christmas Day. I can open this thing right now. And that's what happened.
Yep.
And that's why they have no cap space. Congratulations, Laker fans.
All right, the bad of the day. The bad is that there's a real life The Birds. You remember the Alfred Hitchcock movie, The Birds?
Yes, I'm somewhat familiar with it.
Okay, there's a real life The Birds situation happening. Was happening. I think it might have calmed itself down. But a pair of seagulls kept a couple hostage in their own home for 6 days. Because every time they try to
So what happened here?
A couple were kept hostage in their house by a pair of seagulls for up to 6 days.
This is, you know what's funny? I live at the beach. I see seagulls all the time. In fact, yesterday I was doing my afternoon show and I saw a seagull torpedo into this lady's plate and take multiple French fries right off it. Those seagulls rule the world, man. When they have their sights set on something, this story isn't as bizarre as it seems.
No, it's not. It's not that bizarre. Basically, what happened was there was a pair of nesting seagulls perched right outside their front door. I think like up, you know, they have a little porch, so it was probably up maybe one of the eaves where it was all protected. Every single time they walked out the front door, the seagulls would go crazy and attack them because they're very protective of their nest. One time,
absolutely,
the guy, which the couple. I do have to say, are in their 70s. The husband is 77. The wife is 71.
Right.
Every time the husband, who was 77, actually had to go to the hospital and get some stitches because he was attacked so viciously.
I could see it, man. Those things, I'm telling you, they are. You walk down like the boardwalk here. They've got those like line, like those wires, so that the birds can't torpedo at you. I mean, they are. It's legit scary,
yeah.
Man.
And when you first read it, it's like, wait, what? Birds? They just go outside, shoot them with a BB gun. Come on now. You know, get that slingshot.
Yes.
Just throw a rock at them.
Yeah, well, guess what? If they are in front of the door and holding it up so that you can't get out, be fearful because they got something up, man.
Yeah, I think there is some truth behind Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the work. I have not seen it.
Yeah, basically, you kind of figured out. I mean, you see from the previews, too, is that a whole city or a whole town is under attack by some vicious birds who literally just keep attacking people.
Well, I've seen it happen.
And, you know, kill them.
I have seen it happen. I can witness that the seagulls are a different breed of bird.
Yep. So then for the dumb of the day, I mean, there's some positive light. This is kind of a cool situation. It's just, you know, it just happens to be male scientists are the ones who figure this out. But they figured out that sperm can survive the low-gravity trip to Mars. Meaning, men would not be needed to colonize the planet. So basically, I mean, if you read really into it, and this was male scientists who figured this out, that they figured out that, you know what, we can, if we wanted to colonize Mars, we could just send a bunch of women up there with frozen sperm, and they can colonize the whole planet, leaving us men behind to rot on Earth.
Yes, all of us with the birds, right?
Yeah, with the birds, being attacked by the birds.
You're just a bunch of rotting carcasses that these seagulls have been waiting to prey on, and then they will take over the world. That's essentially how the bad has wrapped into the dumb.
Exactly. And this is, I mean, let's really think about this. Women are finding more and more ways not to need men.
Well,
we're an endangered species, Mike.
As we found out in yesterday's edition of The Good, the Bad, and the Dumb, they need us to swipe left so they can get a free meal.
Right, but pretty soon they're going to be growing their own men, so they don't need us.
Yeah,
there'll be men that they grow just to take women out to dinner. That's their sole purpose in life. They won't know any different.
Right. They're already trying to mold us in the way that they want to shape us to be. Now they won't even need to do that. They will just grow us and we will
exactly
come out in that manner, right?
They're gonna head to Mars, and you know, we watched everyone watched Matt Damon in The Martian, you know, harvest potatoes. They will be harvesting men.
And where's this going on?
Well, it's just a couple scientists figured this out, that because you know, there is a big push to colonize Mars by 2020 or 20. Well, no, not 2020. That would be really amazing. I think it was 2033.
2033. Okay.
Yeah, and so likely we'll just all be women.
So by that time, the U.S. men's soccer team will be pretty good, according to Tony Mioli.
Well, hopefully.
What do you say, 2026? That's
2026 is when it's going to be held in the U.S. Or actually, I should say North America, because it'll be a joint effort between Canada, U.S., and Mexico.
Yeah. You a soccer guy?
Yes.
All right. So you're ready for 2026 now?
I'll go to a couple games. I'm going to.
Yeah, I heard.
I think I just got to rent. What I would want to do is rent a VW bus and just travel around the country.
All over? Well, I think Lincoln Financial Field is one of the places that's up for hosting up here in Philly.
Yeah, that'll be fantastic.
I just read that story yesterday. Yeah. But I know this, that the women play France coming up, and that game is. I would assume that that's the biggest
Friday.
Test. It's a Friday?
Is it Friday or Saturday?
You know what? I don't know what today's date is.
Days.
Today's like the 25th, right? I know it's the 28th, so it's like 3 days from now.
Yep,
so yeah, Friday.
Be Friday.
Yep, so that game's at 3 o'clock in Paris. France will be their toughest test. And then the men play on the 28th, which is sometime next week. I guess on Sunday or Monday, I guess that would be. And that one's in the Gold Cup. So we got a lot of that going on. And I'll tell you, you know, that's another story that we talk about. Yesterday we talked about the baseball and lacrosse. And Tony talked about in 94 how that team really launched the MLS. And here we are, what, 25 years later, and the MLS, you know, it's kind of a thriving league. I don't know that.
Yeah, it's growing. I mean, they haven't. When you compare it to other teams or other leagues that have popped up, I mean, they've continued to grow year after year. They're not drawing in the huge, huge fan base, but they're also not trying to draw in the huge fans. You know, they're not trying to draw in 60,000, 70,000 people. They're building soccer-specific stadiums, which is perfect. You know, seat 20,000 to 30,000 people.
Yeah, or Chargers fans.
Well, Chargers haven't had a home game in over a year.
That's a story. They play. They're still playing another year in the soccer stadium out there, right?
At least another year, maybe two.
Yeah, because the stadium in L.A. is not going to get done. And, of course, you have you know, when the Eagles played the Chargers out there, that place holds like 30,000. I think like 17,000 of them were Eagles fans that traveled across the country.
That's why I said Chargers don't know what a home team home game feels like, and they're not. Even when they move to into that new stadium with the Rams, they won't know what a home game is.
Yeah, well, I don't know why they just didn't stay in San Diego until the L.A. stadium was ready. I mean, I guess that didn't make a lot of sense. I don't know. It seems like it made sense to me. Like, the Oakland fans know their team's leaving and going to Vegas, but I guarantee that stadium is still going to be filled. All right, we'll wrap it all up coming up. SB Nation AM, Mike Hill in for Tony D.